Today I'll be reading Philippians 4. Today I'll be reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May the Lord bless the readers, the doers, and the hearers of His holy word.
Would you bow your head for a word of prayer? Lord God, I thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, I thank you for blessing us with another opportunity to come here and give you all the glory and the praise, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us get here safely, Lord God. Lord, I want to ask that you keep giving us the ability to praise you, Lord, and give you all the thanks, Lord, because at the end of the day, we can't give you enough, Lord God, but you continue to bless us and continue to keep us and guide us, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us know that you'll always be there, Lord, even in our times of trouble, Lord, even when we don't feel like we have nothing left, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us be able to be that silver lining in a dark cloud, Lord, that friend where we ain't got no one, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for always being our rock to lean on, Lord, our path to walk on, Lord. Lord, I want to ask that you keep us, Lord, and guide us, Lord, throughout the oncoming days, Lord, throughout the heartaches, Lord, throughout the pains, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for everything you do for us and everything you continue to do, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for always being able to let us lean on you, Lord. Always be able to cry to you, Lord. Shout out to you, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do, Lord, because we can never give you enough praise. We can never give you enough honor, Lord. And Lord, I want to ask that you keep us and guide us throughout this day, Lord, as we honor you and give you more praise, Lord. Amen.
Will you please help me say I'm satisfied with Jesus? I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my heart. I'm satisfied with Jesus. You can't make me doubt him.
Make me doubt him.
You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him. In my heart. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt him.
Thank you.
much about it. And thanks for participating. Furthermore, now we'll hand the service in the pulpit.
Amen. Amen. How many satisfied with Jesus this morning? Oh, certainly we can do better than that. God is too good to us. Amen. I'm satisfied with him. After being partners with the devil for years, when you give your life to Christ, you ought to be satisfied with Jesus. Amen. When you know all what he have done for us and what he is doing for us right now, you ought to be satisfied with him. Amen. Amen. We thank God for Jesus for just sparing our lives to be in the midst of the service just one more time. Amen. We thank God for our junior deacons for opening us up in devotion this morning. Let's give them another hand this morning. We thank God for our youngsters. We ask that you continue to encourage them. Words that train them up. We got to train up our children so that when they get older, they won't depart from the ways. Amen. And so we got to continue to encourage them. They might not sing it the way we sing it. They might not say it the way we do it. But we had to continue to encourage them. Thank God for the courage that they have to just do what they do in front of the crowd. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you who are here this morning. We thank God for those who are watching virtually. Amen. This morning our scripture is coming from the book of Matthews. And we're going to be looking at chapter 24. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 14. That's the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 14. And we ask if you are here and you're able to stand, we ask that you stand in the reverence of God's holy word. And we ask that you continue to stand so we can say our church mission statement in unison as well. And we're going to say our scripture in unison this morning. Amen. And it reads, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Amen. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of his holy word. The New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church, Church Mission Statement. For those who know it, let us begin. The New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church mission is to know all about Jesus Christ and understand fully what he accomplished for us on the cross. We also desire to make these things known in the Bessemer area and the world. We are a mission-minded, soul-winning church for Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank God for you this morning. We thank God for your participation. Right now, we're going to have our announcements, after which we will have our altar prayer by Reverend Mims, and following after that, we will have our baptism service.
Sunday, March 13th, in the year 2022, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Pastor Rogers, Reverend McCoy, New Bethlehem's officiating ministries, members, and visitors, good morning. A thank you card was received from Sister Melanie Ware and Kelsey, the Turner and Pippins family, the Sanders and Fletcher family, Sister Ruby Thompson, the Logan family, Sister Sandra Johnson Ashford, and from the family of Sister Liberta Hatter. On our hospital list, we have Brother Wayne Pratt. On our prayer list, we have Sister Dorothy Fancher, Brother John Atkins Jr., Reverend Fletcher Lawson, Brother Alfonso Lewis, Sister Effie Dangerfield, Sister Bernice Williams, Brother George Thompson, Brother J.T. Henley, Sister Ella Rogers, Sister Amelia Bruce, Brother Dwayne Smith, Reverend Edward May, Brother Jack Blanks, Sister Jacqueline Payne, Sister Bertha Williams, Brother Robert Doubtley, Sister Bertha McLean, Sister Edna Quillman, Sister Kellen Fisher, Sister Classy Evans, Sister Louise Blackman, Sister Donna Mitchell, Sister Louise Broom, Brother Tommy Bland, and Sister Gloria Moman. Announcements. The Seniors Ministry will have a virtual Beware of Scam and Fraud workshop on Monday, March 14th at 6 p.m. Please register at nbbc.info. Pastor Rogers will meet with the number 1 and 2 usher ministries this Monday at 6 p.m. at the Family Life Center. Unless otherwise announced, the marriage ministry meets at the Family Life Center on the second Saturday of each month at 5 p.m. There will be a Zoom chat with Pastor Rogers on next Sunday, March 20th at 3:30 p.m. Please note, if the chairs are lined up in the Family Life Center when you enter the gym and or conference room and you move them, please line them back up before you exit the area. Thanking you in advance. Please join us Sunday, March 27th for our 121st church anniversary. The 8 a.m. speaker will be Reverend Dr. Michael C. Washington of Mount Hebron Missionary Baptist Church, ASIPCO. And at our 10:30 a.m. service, Reverend Dr. Vernon Swift of Elizabeth Missionary Baptist Church, Tuscaloosa, will be the speaker. The colors for that day are purple and gray. High school seniors, please adhere to the deadline for your scholarship application to be turned in to the office. The deadline is Monday, April 4th.
This ends the announcements. You are now in the hands of the Welcome Ministry.
We have now come to the time in our service where we want to recognize any visitors that are worshiping with us today. If we have any visitors worshiping, would you please stand? All right. Well, New Bethlehem family, we are delighted that you're here with us this morning. Give yourselves a hand. Services are now back in the hands of the pulpit. Thank you.
Let us pray. O God of Heavenly Father, again, O God, we come before thou throne of mercy. Come, O God, look into the hills from whence cometh our help. Knowing, God, that our help come from you, which made the heavens and the earth. We come, O God, to acknowledge you as the only true and living God. Realize, God, that in you we live, we move, we have our being. Thank you, O God, for just another day's journey. Thank you, O God, for giving us a mind to come to the house of worship. That we, God, come at this time to worship you in spirit and in truth. Pray, O God, that thou would give us a mind to run the praise and worship unto you. Help us, O God, to forget about ourselves and what's going on in our life today, but help us, God, to give you a yet praise. Oh God, we need you right now. Pray, oh God, that thou will renew our strength, give us peace that surpasses all our understanding, give us joy, unspeakable joy. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Oh God, forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray, O God, that thou will transform our minds. Help us, God, to have the mind that was in Christ be also in us. We pray, O God, for your preached word, that it, God, would do that in which is intended to do. We pray, O God, that thou will stir up the gift within Pastor Rogers, that you, God, would give him boldness and courage to stand on the wall and proclaim your word. Pray, O God, that thou would give us receptive ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today. Then, God, we pray that thou would remember those that are on the sick list. We pray, O God, that you would heal them and resurrect them from their beds of affliction. Pray, O God, for those that are bereaved, that you, God, would comfort them, that they, God, would cast all their cares upon you, for you, God, careth for them. And we just pray, oh God, that you will be with us today, that you, God, will preserve our souls, that you, God, will preserve us from all evil, and help us, God, to magnify you, exalt you, and praise you. These and all blessings we pray for in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3 for our baptism reading. Beginning with verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord left two ordinances for us to observe as his people. That being the Lord's Supper, communion, Eucharist, and baptism. We're blessed and fortunate today to observe the ordinance of baptism. God has chose to extend his kingdom in the earth by calling two out of the world into his marvelous light. And certainly we should give God praise, for he's still in the saving business. Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, bless his name. Listen, let us all together sing, Take Me to the Water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. To be there. No, I got religion. No, I got. Come on, let me hear you. I know I got religion. No, I got religion. No, I got religion. Church.
Holy, you are holy, God we your hands together.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Praise him!
Praise the Lord!
Praise
every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, we're grateful, thankful for all you've done, all you're doing, all you're going to do. For Lord, it's you who are the captain and caretaker of our souls. You navigate our niches and allow us the privilege of being present. Lord, you blessed us this morning with life. Life more abundantly. And so, Father, we don't give you meager praise, but we give you praise that's major because you're God and you're God alone. And besides you, there is no other. Thank you, Lord, for looking upon us in grace and mercy, blessing us a portion of health and strength, minds that sing, and hearts that stayed on thee. Lord, your joy is our strength, and we give that strength for your glory. Lord, we pray now that you grace us with your presence. Manifest yourself, Lord, in our midst, that our coming be not in vain. Lord, we pray for your word to go forth. Send it, Lord, as you send rain and snow from heaven to water it, the earth, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Lord, so shall your word go forth and will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Thank you for your word, because your word is the foundation on which we build our lives. Because, Father, we know that the winds will blow and the rains will descend. Lord, it will beat up on us vehemently, but we stand because of your word. Lord, we pray that you make us one, that your word will be received. And Lord, center men and center women, boys and girls, will know that your son Jesus Christ has come. He lived and died. He was raised the third day. And now he's at your right hand, interceding for us. Extend, exalt, and illustrate your kingdom in us and through us. And Lord, we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the honor and glory. It is in the marvelous, majestic, miracle working name of Christ we do pray, and every heart say amen. Come on, bless the Lord if you will. Come on, bless him today. The Lord has blessed us with a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, bless him again and again, because he keeps blessing us. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Certainly God is to be praised. He's above all, and all is beneath him. God is God, and he's God alone. And he holds the world in his hand. He has blessed us with a beautiful day. Blessed us with beautiful lives. Amen. And we all smile. Come on, let me see your smiles. Come on, smile. The higher you lift it, the harder you're smiling. Matter of fact, smile at somebody. Amen. Smile at somebody. Smile at somebody. All over the sanctuary, smile at somebody. Let them know you're happy. because you're in the Lord. Come on, smile at somebody. They need that smile today. They're going through some trouble and they need a smile from you today. You know, that smile, say to them that it's going to be all right. God is in charge. Come on. Bless him today. Listen, we thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend Miam and Reverend McCoy, to the deacons and trustees, junior deacons, who have devoted us to the environmental safety team, media ministry, to the choir, youth, combined with adults who have sang so melodiously and blessed us in song. To all of you, it's just good for us to be here. Amen. Amen. It's good to be alive, alert and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Matthew 24. Thank God for saving souls. Amen. Thank him for extending his kingdom through this ministry at New Bethlehem and the many ministries across the land. God is still saving souls. Listen, everybody is not lost. And those who are lost, he's reaching into the darkness and he's pulling them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm saved and sealed. Amen. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. For many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, reaching out Christian witness to a wayward world. Come on, say it a little louder if you will, looking at someone else. Reaching out, Christian witness to a wayward world. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience, if you will. Reaching out, Christian witness to a wayward world. Amen. We have already preached reaching up, which is a posture of dependence, a desire for comfort, help, holding, being held by the Lord. We depend on God and we depend on the Lord because without Him, we can do nothing. But the words of Paul echo throughout the Holy Scripture that says, with Christ, we can do all things. We reach up. Because God loves for us to reach up unto Him. Because God loves to reach down to us. We reach in. Because all of us wrestle with sin and temptation. All of us sin. Are you okay? All of us sin. For the word says, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how long you've been sitting on the padded pew, how long you've been singing His praises, you still sin. Paul, one of the great contributors to the New Testament, wrote in Romans chapter 7 that there's a war, a struggle, a contending that's going on in the inside of us. Two natures raging war. The nature of the flesh and the nature of the Spirit of God. That there's a tussling going on. The good that we would do, we don't. And the evil we shouldn't do, that we find ourselves doing. We reach in to help one another overcome sin in our lives. For the word says that the strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. We're strong sometimes, not all the time. We don't always feel on top. We don't always feel strengthened. Life is like a roller coaster. We're up and down. We take some unexpected turns. And sometimes temptation, sin pounces on us like a leopard or a lion. And we find ourselves caught up in sin. But thanks be to God that we have God and one another. Because He tells us to reach in to help one another overcome the overwhelming pressures of temptation. But not only do we reach up and reach in, but he tells us also to reach out. We reach out into a wayward world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells us in verse 14 that this gospel shall be preached unto all nations. And after the gospel has reached all nations, he says, then shall the end be. The backdrop of Matthew's 24. Jesus left the temple for the last time before his crucifixion. He dispersed the crowd, and the disciples came privately inquiring of him an explanation of what he had said to them earlier. For he had spoken unto them concerning the temple that there will be no stone on another, that there will be destruction of the temple. They listened to Jesus and they inquired of him privately of what he meant when he said that the consummation will come after the desecration of the temple and after the gospel is preached unto all nations. They listen in awe and wonder as he sternly condemned the scribes and Pharisees. For in Matthew 23, Jesus spoke woe after woe after woe. He pronounced seven woes on the scribes and Pharisees. Woe means a condition of deep suffering from misfortune, affliction, or grief. Let me say that again. Woe means a condition of deep suffering from misfortune, affliction, or grief. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. He was speaking woe on them because they were hypocrites. They were play actors. They were men of the mask. They covered their real self from the people because they were preaching and teaching what they did not and could not live. He says, you're saying one thing with your mouth and living another way. He says, woe unto you, seven woes. He didn't wow them, he woed them. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, I want you to understand that as my messengers, you will suffer many things. And the disciples heard Jesus tell the Jews that their house was left unto them desolate. They should see him no more until they, along with the multitude, with whom they blamed on Palm Sunday, should cry, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now Jesus had prophesied in plainer terms the coming destruction of the temple. And they were perplexed. And the disciples asked Jesus, when shall these things be? What sign would be given to denote the consummation of the age? Jesus, he reminded his disciples of Daniel, the prophecy of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 27, where Daniel spoke of the Jews and how they would experience in the time of the Messiah with the destruction of the city and the sanctuary. He spoke of a consummation of a desolation, but he didn't say when this things would be. I think he left it open and left it blank, because if we knew exactly when the Lord would come and the end would be, we would live contrary to his will all the way up until the consummation, all the way up until the end of time. But he left it open. He left it unanswered because he wants us to live ready. Live with expectation. Live watching for the coming of the Lord. When would these things be? Pastor, tell me when these things will be. I'll tell you. They'll be when they be. He leaves it unanswered. And he says to his disciples, he says, while you're waiting, he says, don't be deceived. Let no man deceive you as it relates to the interpreting of the prophecy. So many will come and say, I am Christ, and mislead many. In other words, there will be many deceivers who will surface and mislead many people astray. They will lead people away from God and away to destruction. He says, when shall these things be? Paul parallels the words of Jesus in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. What do you think is happening now? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is a God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. People are rejecting truth. They are rejecting truth. And because of their constant rejecting of truth, he says, they shall believe a lie, because I will send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. All brothers and sisters, sound like our day to me, where people no longer honor God, people no longer desire God, people no longer desire his word, and they will rather hear a lie than truth. He says, because of their constant rejection of truth, he will send them a strong delusion. Right seems wrong, and wrong seems right. Forward seems backwards, and backwards seems forward. Up seems down, and down seems up. There's a delusion. And he says these things will happen in the last days. He says in the last days, we still have the commission to reach out with the word of God. But let me help you. Let me caution you as to what you are reaching out into. He says, reach into the world. There's a condition or conditions of the world that he reveals in verses 6 through 12. He says, first of all, the world is riddled with political dissension. There is a disagreement that leads to conflict. And Jesus said before he returns, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and nations shall be against nation, or nation against nation. He said there's a war being raged around the world. And let me help you, wars are not decreasing. Wars are increasing. See, the number of operations are reaching record levels. Troops deployment is rising, and the need for more civilian specialists is heightening. The world is becoming more and more hostile. Wars and rumors of wars. Syria, civil war. Russian and Ukraine war. Tyrant conflict. Political instability in Iraq. Israeli and Palestinian conflict. Instability in Egypt. Wars and rumors of wars. But not only is there political dissension, he mentions natural disasters. He says in that day, before he returns, there would be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And most of us don't take this seriously because we live life oblivious of the things that's going on in the world around us. We think it's happenstantial. He said there will be wars and rumors. He says there will be pestilence, there will be famines, there will be earthquakes in various places. Jesus says famines. Don't you know more than 30 million people in Somalia, South Sudan, and Yemen are currently facing food insecurity? That the food crisis is a result of rapid shifts from drought to flooding and violence and conflict. The United Nations has declared a full-fledged famine in parts of South Sudan and is warning that if prompt and substant humanitarian intervention doesn't happen soon, that three other countries could soon cross the threshold as well. Food famine, food insecurity. America's hunger pandemic is getting worse and worse poverty, inflation, and COVID puts millions of Americans at risk of food insecurity. And not just America, pretty much every continent. People are dealing with bare minimum because there's a famine in the land. But not only are there famines, there's a pestilence. The land is saturated with disease, cancer, STDs, heart disease, strokes, malaria, Ebola, COVID, with all the strands, pestilence upon the earth. He says, not only are we dealing with pestilence and famines, he says, but there are earthquakes. There have been trembles over here. Earth trembles, and California is riddled with earthquakes. A few years ago, Botswana was rocked with the strongest earthquake ever, just hours after South Africa was struck on April the 2nd, 2017. Prince Charles visited an Italian town hit by deadly earthquake where more than 200 people died. He says earthquakes. These things are happening. But not only do we see pestilence and earthquakes and famines and wars or rumors of wars, he says there is moral decay. That things are getting bad and going from bad to worse. But he says in lieu of that, there is moral decay. That people have no regard for God. Listen, if things are going to get better, you're going to have to regard God. You're going to have to put God where God needs to be. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven and heal the land. But instead of us turning to God, we're running from God, because Paul said there has to be a great falling away. People who need him most are least likely to come. He says moral decay. There will be lawlessness. A day when people will reject all and any kind of authority. Lawlessness. If there was ever a day of lawlessness, it's today. Lawlessness. And lawlessness in the Greek is translated as iniquity or iniquities. It is the strongest word in the New Testament to describe sin. Because iniquity, it means twisted in your sin. You're twisted like a pretzel in your sin. Your sins are about to tie you in a knot. Moral decay. He says, sin will overtake. And he says they are caught up in sin because of ignorance. Now, ignorance here is not knowing, because there's a lack of information. Ignorance means that you don't know because you ignored. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Here's the picture. He says you are ignorant. You don't know. Because when information was given out, you took your finger and put it in your ear to block yourself or to keep yourself from hearing what was said. He says, ignorant of God's righteousness. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about establishing their own righteousness. And that's what happens. When you ignore God's right, what God says is right, it's only because you perceive something else to be right. That's lawlessness. When you make yourself right, regardless of what the word say, regardless of what the law say, because the law is the standard of God's holiness. That's why Jesus said he didn't come to destroy it, because it's the standard of God's holiness. It reveals unto us what God requires of us and what God say is holy. And when you ignore God's standard of holiness, that's lawlessness. You know the moral law, but you just intentionally disregard it, dismiss and disobey it. See, you do that by putting that but. Yo, come on. You know how you say, I know what it say, but. That means you're going to act against it. He says, moral decay, lawlessness. And we live in a world where people feel that they can do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and however they want to do it, into whoever they want to do it to. Living without God's law. And Jesus says before he returned, people will be given over to sin. And he says it would be as the day of Noah. And you know what happened in the day of Noah? People were lawless. Man provoked God to destroy the earth with a great flood. And he said he wouldn't destroy it again with water, but it'll be fire next time. Scientists are trying to figure out how to preserve the earth. Talking about global warming. It's going to get hotter than that. And hotter than this, because we're ramping up in sin. And the more we sin, our sin has a consequence and has an effect on nature. I have the answer. You want it to stop getting hot? Stop sinning. he says, this spiritual decay. Now watch this. This spiritual decay leads to spiritual diabolism, which is the teaching of sin. People teaching others to sin. That is okay to sin. But listen, we know that it's not okay, because the word of God says the wages of sin is death. And then Paul even says, shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? He says, God forbids. They were teaching others to sin. The spiritual diabolism. And he tells us to reach into a world that's riddled by famine, pestilence, political dissension, spiritual diabolism, and mar decay with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm finished. Verse 14. But let me deal with something before I get to verse 14. He says, understand, when you reach into the world, you will offend some people. Now, if you looking for everybody to be your friend, if you looking for everybody to be all right with you, okay with you, and smile and laugh and grin with you, you're not going to reach out. Because he says when you reach out with the gospel, you're going to offend. And he says because you offend people in the world, they will persecute you. That's what they are doing with media. They are persecuting. They may not be doing it physically, but they are doing it to you reputationally. They want to destroy you. And he says, nations will. You ever notice? Nations don't have a problem with any God but our God. They didn't have a problem with Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad. But when you start talking about God and Jesus Christ, they have a problem, and they persecute. Because the gospel of Christ is a convicting for the purpose of converting. When you reach out, you have to reach out with the gospel. Listen, I was reading a book. It's called entitled Gospel Today. And it says, until you wound a man with the law, he doesn't have a desire to be mended with the gospel. Y'all missed that, didn't you? Until you wound a man with the standard of God's holiness, with the law, he won't have a desire to be mended with the gospel. And what we have done is tried to give the gospel to people who have not been wounded. Jesus says, the well needs no physician. He says, you reach out with the gospel because we are called as the church to witness to the wayward world. Verse 14, he says, until this gospel is preached, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end be. So the Lord has commissioned the church to reach out in spite of all that is happening in the world, and he says reach out with the gospel. Now, why with the gospel? Not our opinions, not our thoughts, but with the gospel of the kingdom. This is the same gospel he preached. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and because of his preaching, many were drawn out of darkness unto him as light. And he says to us that we are to preach the gospel of the kingdom. See, the gospel is the power of God to change people in the world from sinner to saint. See, the gospel is the power that calls people out of darkness into the marvelous light. The gospel is the proclaiming of Jesus Christ coming from the Father to die on Calvary for our sins. That's the message we preach. And listen, you don't have to change the message, because if the gospel changed you, it can change anybody. Do I have anybody in here can be a witness that it's because you heard some preacher say that he died one Friday and he was placed in a borrowed tomb, but early Sunday morning he got up out of the grave and it was good enough to save you? It's still the power of God on the salvation to all who believe. You don't have to change the message. You don't have to use gimmicks. Just the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reach out with the gospel. Listen, he didn't say everybody in the world will accept it, but he said they will at least hear it. Listen, we have capabilities now to preach the gospel to all nations with modern technology. Travel made easier and quicker. Language barriers are overcome through computers and interpreters. And the gospel can reach the world in an instant. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people are receiving Christ all around the world, because the gospel is being preached. Listen, we reach out with the gospel. Take the gospel home with you. And start with your house. If there's any unsaved in your house, you just start sharing with them the gospel. And then take it outside to the neighbor's house. And say, you have a minute, I just want to share the gospel with you. And go preaching. And listen, when you're finished with one neighbor, go to another neighbor. Listen, have a case of the Cain helpers. You know, as good as God has been to you and as much as he has done for you, every now and then you ought to catch a case of the Cain helpers. You can't help but tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for you. Reach out with the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Everyone to your feet, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. For you have heard today, Jesus is Son of God. He came through 42 generations. Was born in Bethlehem, lived 33 and a half years, died on Calvary to set you free from sin, sin's power, and sin's penalty. If you're not saved, you can be saved by simply believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the word of God says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come today. If you're not saved, receive the Lord. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a family of faith, come. Come, we will receive you. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open. Come, make your confession to God. And the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll restore you in fellowship. You're his child. You'll always be his child. But you have drifted because sin separates. But he says, if you come, you hear my voice and respond to my voice, I'm knocking at your door. And if you open, I'll come in and sup with you, and you with me. That's fellowship. Oh, what a fellowship. Oh, what a joy divine. Come today. Come. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come. You can come for prayer. Come. Listen to the words of the Lord.
I will be with you. You will only
trust him.
Trust me.
Come on, trust him. Trust him.
Trust me.
Come on, trust him. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar.
I will be with
you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, trust him.
I will be with you.
Listen to the words of the Lord.
I will be
come on.
With
come on, bless the name of the Lord. Come on. Trust him.
Trust me.
Come on, come on. Trust him today.
Trust me.
Trust him with your life. Trust him with your soul.
Trust me.
Trust him to do what only he can do.
I'll never leave you.
Listen to him. Come on, the door. Come on, come on, come on. Trust him.
Trust me.
Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Come on, the door. The Lord is waiting on you. Come on. Lord, I don't want to be messed up. Lord, I don't want to be riddled with the sins, iniquities, the twistedness of the world.
We'll
fight for you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Sister Tamil Wright has come for baptism.
Yeah.
Amen. That means you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as personal Lord and Savior. That means that you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came from glory to earth, from heaven to earth, to die in our place for our good, to save us, to set us free from sin's power and sin's penalty. The penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and hung on Calvary in your place for your salvation? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I want you to say with me, Jesus is Lord of my life. He's Savior of my life. I give you control of my life, Lord. I yield myself to you for your glory in Jesus' name. Forgive me of my sins and keep me in your righteousness. Amen. Sister Bothwell Burks. Amen. Sister Burks. Amen. So glad to have you by Christian Experience. That means that you're saved already. All right. And you're coming to us from where? Where are you coming to us from? Galilee. All right. All right. We have orientation for both of you. We have orientation. And what orientation does is assimilate you into our church, that you'll know what our church is about, what we teach, our doctrine, our duty as people of God. We want you to be a part of core ministry working, not just a pew member, but working for the Lord, because only what you do for Christ will last. If you're not busy for the Lord, that means that you're busy for someone else, and that someone else is the devil. So we want you busy. We want your partnership. We want your participation. We want your praise. We want you to be a part of what God is doing through New Bethlehem. Because the more he uses you, the more stronger and powerful you'll become. And you'll be able to withstand temptations. You receive family today, family of faith. You heard me say in the opening of the sermon that all of us grapple and wrestle with sin, but we need one another. We look to see you at the services, because when you miss, you become a form or means of discouragement. I want to look out and say, where's Sister Burke? And look back there. You be back there. Amen. Like I do all the other members. Amen. So he said, we encourage one another the more as the day approaches. Jesus is coming back. We thank God for you. Lord, we pray for Sister Burks. Continue to strengthen her, Lord, as she's here with us. Thank you for adding to our faith family. And Father, we take full responsibility of sharing with her, sharing with them, Lord, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless you, baby. Next time. All hearts and minds clear. Everybody sing, amen. Grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And every heart say amen. 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 Go in peace today.